I'm shocked that they would take lengths this extraordinary to rob members of the party of a Democratic election based on an anonymous complaint.
Patrick Brown fights back, disqualified from the federal Conservative leadership race. Tonight, how he's defending his campaign. Good evening. It is an explosive shakeup in the political world.
Left in the dust, Patrick Brown kicked out of the Conservative leadership race. Allegations leveled at the man who wants to be prime minister. We're live in Brampton, where Brown is still mayor and today fired back at his main opponent. So what does that mean for the Conservative Party and Brown's political future? We begin our coverage with CTV's Ottawa Bureau Chief Joyce Napier.
A cryptic statement by the Conservative Leadership Committee sent out late last night, and it's done. Candidate Patrick Brown is out of the race, disqualified, and he says he doesn't even know why.
No substance. We don't even know what the allegation is. It's an anonymous allegation being made. How do you respond to a phantom allegation?
In recent weeks, our party became aware of serious allegations of wrongdoing by the Patrick Brown campaign that appear to violate the financial provisions of the Canada Elections Act, reads the statement. A bombshell in the middle of a leadership campaign. No details, no evidence. The Conservative Committee voted behind closed doors, 11-6, to disqualify Brown and is now saying his campaign was not left in the dark.
They knew exactly what this was all about, exactly what the material was, and they chose not to take advantage of the opportunities to give any kind of a plausible and satisfactory explanation.
The Brown campaign says they signed up more than 150,000 members, and Brown himself says he knows where this is coming from.
Very clearly, Pierre Poilievre supporters are the ones behind this. And you know, it begs the question, why? If they are so confident, why do they want me out of the race?
And the Poilievre campaign issued this statement attacking Brown. Yesterday's news was just the latest chapter in a career defined by numerous scandals, inquiries, and even criminal investigations related to political activities in all three levels of government.
If you can't trust him to run a city, how can you trust him to run the country?
Poilievre attack ads against the mayor of Brampton in the GTA. Nastier, more personal, and with this latest development, leaving members wondering, how will this tarnish the reputation of the party and the credibility of the race?
What's my sense? What a mess. Unfortunately, this is a bit of a mess.
And that so-called mess could last for weeks, even months, now that Elections Canada is investigating the allegations. And the investigation may not be over before the leadership convention on September 10th, leaving Patrick Brown's supporters in the lurch. Joyce Napier, CTV News, Ottawa.
And joining us now is host of CTV's Power Play and Question Period, Evan Solomon. Evan, you were first to interview Patrick Brown on this today, and I know you've been back and forth with all those involved on all sides trying to make sense of the situation. What's your take?
He said, we haven't seen the evidence. Patrick Brown says, I was not given the evidence. These are phantom allegations. I don't know what they're talking about, and I'm blindsided by this. He told me it was political corruption and that the Pierre Poilievre team is behind it all and that they've influenced the leadership election organizing committee who runs this to get him out of the race because he's upsetting the establishment and threatening a Pierre Poilievre victory. Does he have any evidence of that? No. I spoke to the president of the Conservative Party, Robert Patterson, and he says that's absolutely untrue. We had weeks of back and forth with the Brown campaign at the highest levels. We gave them all sorts of evidence about allegations that we had that somebody was using a business to pay for campaign expenses on the Brown campaign. They did not give us any substantive answers on that. We had no choice but to either have a candidate with a dark cloud over his head or to disqualify him because we're concerned that he could be breaking even federal election rules. And so they never gave us answers. That's the way it is. It has nothing to do with corruption. There's nobody in the favor of Pierre Poilievre. It's neutral. This is the Brown camps. Here's the problem. There's no evidence. The party has not given any evidence of this so-called violations of the Elections Act, and Brown hasn't given any evidence that the Pierre Poilievre camp is around it. So it is a shambolic mess right now of accusations, but I will say this. I just spoke to the campaign co-chair, John Reynolds, of the Patrick Brown campaign. He says they are going to appeal this, and they are going to try to get Brown in back in the race if their appeal works. We'll see where that goes.
Well, if that doesn't work, if this is a done deal with Patrick Brown out, who stands to gain?
So Brown is looking at his legal options, and he'll try to get in. But let's say he doesn't get in, as you say, Mish. Well, look, the first big winner is Pierre Poilievre, obviously. He's the front runner in this campaign. Without probably right now his biggest opponent, he stands to gain. But gain what? The biggest loser so far is the party. The integrity of the whole process has been challenged here. Patrick Brown is alleging that this is a politically corrupt process that's anti-democratic, and he thinks the whole thing's a sham. Pierre Poilievre has said Patrick Brown is corrupt. So there's cross allegations of corruption here. There's no evidence. There's a trust gap in the party, and whoever wins this race is going to be subjected to the idea that they won a race that wasn't fair, open, and transparent. They need to get this race open and transparent and get the trust back, because so far, the only loser is the party, and Patrick Brown told me the only winner is the Liberals.
CTV's Evan Solomon in Ottawa for us tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Mish.
As Brown fights to get back in the federal leadership race, he's also facing troubles here at home. CTV's Siobhan Morris is live in Brampton with the details. Siobhan.
Well, Andrea, it's going to be a really rocky month, I think, for Patrick Brown as he both tries to get back into the leadership race and also tries to unite a divided council. We heard some allegations from some of his opponents on council today, and it's clear that the next few months aren't going to be smooth inside City Hall. While Patrick Brown had been campaigning for a new office on Parliament Hill near his current home at Brampton City Hall, no one seemed stunned to find him back in the headlines.
Not at all. Not at all.
Bob generally supports Brown, but not the Conservatives. He takes issue with how the ouster went down.
You know, the Conservatives, to me, have shot themselves in both feet and in their kneecaps by doing this, because now it casts a pall over all of them, not just Patrick Brown.
Brown is trying to be reinstated in the Conservative race, but also faces allegations of poor leadership at City Hall.
We've essentially not had leadership since Christmas, ever since he put his name in. And this organization it has a cloud over its head.
A group of Brown's opponents on council held a news conference to take issue with Brown's behavior.
If he took his time away, took the leave of absence, which would have been the responsible thing to do.
They highlighted previous allegations that city resources were used in Brown's federal push and took issue with a series of interviews from the mayor's office today.
The press conferences and stuff that's been done has been within City Hall. And it's regarding a leadership. The leadership campaign should not be within the four walls of City Hall.
Well, there has been a split on our council for a while now.
Brown denies using one office to campaign for another.
Absolutely not. We've been very clear. If any staff wanted to work on my leadership campaign, if you do so, it should be in the evening or on the weekend. You can't do so during work hours. And if anyone wanted to come to a campaign event during work hours, they had to take unpaid time off work.
Brown and his rival councillors exchanged attacks about alleged bad behavior.
Allegations of irregularities, and so giving contracts to people close to them.
I think any complaints they have about a process they supported is odd, and frankly they're just trying to take advantage of media interest in my national campaign.
If Brown can't get back into that campaign, will he run again for mayor?
Well, you know, I have to give some thought to that with my family and friends.
The deadline to register for the mayoral run is in mid-August. Now, if Brown does decide he wants to try for a second term, at this point he has two candidates standing in his way, a former candidate for regional chair and a 23-year-old electrician who hasn't been elected before. Reporting live from Brampton City Hall, I'm Siobhan Morris. Andrea, back to you.
Thanks, Siobhan. And be sure to follow any developments on this story with our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca.
Next to a shocking sight. Imagine seeing this over downtown Toronto. It was not a movie stunt, but a construction site mishap. A worker left dangling from a crane. This would have been what his view was from high above. Simply terrifying. And thankfully, tonight he's back on the ground as we learn more about what happened. CTV's Andrew Brennan joined us live from Front and Simcoe with the details. Andrew.
Well, Michelle, imagine just above me, this is 100, if not 300 feet, give or take, in the air of a 46-story building, a terrifying experience. And one construction worker that works on the site says in the 30 years he's been in this business, he's never seen something like this.
Oh my God, hang on.
Hanging on for dear life as his co-workers tell him not to let go. He lets out a chilling scream before his hard hat drops 8 stories.
He's on the ground. He started from the ground going up, so that's pretty crazy.
On the ground below, the videos captured and shared widely shocked and awed.
Holy crap.
Oh my God.
You see construction all the time. That should never happen.
Looking down to death, man.
Oh my God, how the f*** did this happen?
The company overseeing construction tells CTV News an incident took place at our site located at Front and Simcoe yesterday involving a rigger who got entangled with a tag line after hooking a load. Fortunately, he was safely lowered to the work surface and not seriously injured. A safety consultant says a number of things could have gone wrong, but there are checks and balances that are supposed to catch dangers before they happen.
Knowing the scale, the size, and scope of what that company does, all the processes, all the programs and procedures and policies would have been there.
An inspector has been called to the site, and the Ministry of Labor, Immigration, Training, and Skills Development confirms an investigation has been opened. We reached out to the company that employs this man to try to get an update on his condition and the extent of these minor injuries to see how he's doing now. We've heard no reply. That being said, the construction workers that work here and in other buildings nearby have been talking amongst themselves. Reportedly, this man tried to reach for his own two-way radio and was unable to get it, and it fell and left him dangling with no one to be able to shout to help to, except for screaming as loud as he could. Reporting live, I'm Andrew Brennan. Andrea, back to you.
Thank you, Andrew. And a complicated traffic situation has been playing out for several hours near DuPont and Bathurst. Late this morning, police said there was a concrete truck stuck along Howland Avenue, unable to move. Traffic has been shut down in the area ever since as road crews try to resolve the issue. Still to come tonight, more signs the once red-hot real estate market continues to cool. Home sales are down for another month. What it means if you're looking to buy or trying to sell.
To the weather now, a bit on the cooler and cloudier side today, but skies seem to be clearing. We see some sunshine at this hour. Michelle Jobin is here with your forecast. What can we look forward to this evening?
Well, the improving conditions in terms of our sky, Michelle, yes. It's been a bit of an underachiever today in terms of cloud cover. It's stuck around a little bit longer than we had hoped, and also a little on the cooler side, but you can see that clearing right now, and if you're headed out this evening, it's looking quite nice. Temperatures right now around the region are comfortable. We've got wind speeds right now. Winds right now out of the south. They've shifted. They were out of the north earlier today, and that was definitely giving us a bit of a cooler feel. But through the overnight, we're going to be at a comfortable 16 degrees is the overnight low, 22 feeling like 26 right now at Pearson. Back to you, Michelle.
Thank you. We turn to a tragic development in the case of a Toronto transit attack, and we do want to warn you the details are disturbing.
A woman who was assaulted and set on fire on a TTC bus last month has died from her injuries, the case being treated as a hate-motivated attack. CTV's Beth Bacterell is live at Kipling Station with the latest. Beth.
Andrea, this was truly a horrific attack. The woman suffered second and third degree burns today. The mayor, the TTC, and passengers are expressing their condolences to her friends and family.
Set ablaze on a TTC bus in a suspected hate-motivated attack, and still she survived. A woman in her 20s, a professional caregiver on her way to work. Now, 2.5 weeks later, Toronto police say she died. Her loved ones grieving. Thank you, everyone, for all the support. We are so grateful, and it has been a difficult time. My sister lived a life of service to others and cared for many people, said a family statement posted to a GoFundMe page. We love you and we miss you. We wish her soul to rest in peace. Police say the assault happened at Kipling Station midday on June 17th. The man allegedly pouring a flammable liquid on the woman and igniting it. Officers then charged a 33-year-old Toronto man, Tenzin Norbu, with attempted murder. The homicide unit has now taken over the investigation. In a statement, the transit agency says the entire TTC sends its deepest sympathies and condolences to her family and loved ones at this difficult time. We will continue to assist police in whatever ways we can. At the time, police called it an isolated incident, the woman not knowing her assailant. But it's not the only random attack on the system. In April, Kartik Vasudev, a 21-year-old student from India, was shot and killed outside Sherburn Station. Shamsa Al-Balushi escaped a terrifying push on the subway tracks at Young Bloor Station, and Mario Greco was stabbed in the neck at St. George Station. Some passengers we spoke with want more security on the TTC.
Personally, I think that you had to have some more undercover cops on the system.
Zero. I've never seen a security guard on the TTC. I've been living here for 20 years.
Many riders are sad and angry to learn the woman set on fire has died.
It's heartbreaking, absolutely.
This has to stop, the violence against women.
Toronto's mayor is reassuring riders.
I've talked to the police about this, obviously, and the TTC to make sure that even more security has a presence on the TTC.
To keep the system as safe as possible.
No word yet from police on possible upgraded charges. Now that the woman has died, police say they may be releasing more information following a postmortem. Reporting live at Kipling Station, I'm Beth McDonnell. Andrea, back to you.
Thank you, Beth. Meanwhile, Toronto police are searching for a suspect in a separate violent incident at a subway station. On June 27th, an officer responded to a call about an assault at Victoria Park Station. Investigators say a man was smoking outside when the suspect approached. After a short conversation, he allegedly assaulted the 49-year-old victim, leaving him with serious injuries. Police are asking anyone who recognizes the suspect to contact detectives.
A pedestrian is fighting for his life in hospital after an apparent hit and run in the city's West End. The emergency call came in just after 4:30 this morning to the area of St. Clair West and Lansdowne. Officers arrived and found a man lying in the roadway with critical injuries. The vehicle involved was nowhere to be found. The victim was rushed to hospital, but police say they haven't identified him yet, and they have released a description in the hope someone might know who this person is.
He's a male, black. We believe he's a between 40 to 50 years old, and he was wearing a green T-shirt with black shorts and brown sandals.
So far, police haven't shared a description of a potential suspect or vehicle. They're asking anyone with security or dash cam footage from the time of the incident to get in touch.
There is more evidence tonight that the roller coaster real estate market is hitting a low.
Home sales are down in the GTA for the fourth consecutive month. So what does that mean for you? CTV's Sean Leithung is live in Vaughan tonight, and you spoke to someone who just sold his home.
I did, Michelle, and he was disappointed to find out that his home, after being on the market for 3 months, got a lower price than he was expecting. And that's what some realtors are saying we're seeing in the market now.
The real estate market has shifted. For sale signs are staying up longer, and for those selling their homes,
it's slow.
Jasbir Virk's home just sold, but had been on the market for 3 months, and he saw the shift firsthand.
Before April, was price was so high, and now it's very slow. Its price gone down, so we didn't get what we were expecting.
According to the Toronto Region Real Estate Board, June sales were down 41% compared with last year. The average price in the GTA is over $1.1 million. That's up, but by a modest 5.3%. The days of double-digit increases, multiple offers, waiving of conditions, and sales hundreds of thousands of dollars over the asking price are gone.
We're seeing most listings welcoming offers at any point and pricing at a more reasonable level where we think value is.
Katie Steinfeld, broker and owner of On the Block Realty, says the shift has finally moved away from being a seller's market.
I would call it a balanced market at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if through the summer we get to a buyer's market. But I would say overall, it's hit a pause.
Steinfeld says inflation combined with rising interest rates are causing both buyers and sellers to reevaluate.
It's just been pretty gut-wrenching to watch what's going on.
Tambika Pratt is one of those buyers. She and her fiancé have decided to hold off.
If we were to even take advantage of what's going on in the markets right now, again, we know enough to know that interest rates mean that you're dealing with like a larger mortgage
Pratt, who works in financial services, says they want to see where the market settles. And Katie Steinfeld is advising her clients that a calming market means time for buyers and sellers to make the best decision.
Definitely don't feel the need to jump into something or make a quick decision, because you do have time, and you don't want to have any regrets at the end of the day. So I think that's the most important.
So anyone who was hoping to buy and hoping to get a deal, that might not necessarily be the time right now. As they say, because the market is on pause, realtors don't exactly know what's coming next. Reporting live, I'm Sean Leithong. I'll send it back inside.
Thank you, Sean. If you can wait a few more hours to fill up your gas tank, your wallet will thank you. Dan McTague with Canadians for Affordable Energy forecasts a 12-cent price drop at GTA stations tomorrow. That would bring the average price to just below $1.80 a liter for regular. The provincial government temporarily cut its gas tax last week as prices hover at historic highs.
The man accused of killing seven people at a parade in suburban Chicago made his first court appearance today.
Before facing the judge, the suspect confessed to Monday's horrific attack.
His statement was voluntary. He was questioned in the Highland Park Police Department. He was read his Miranda warnings, offered attorneys, etc. He went into details about what he had done. He admitted to what he had done.
Police say after the shooting, Robert Cremo III fled to Madison, Wisconsin. They don't think he planned an attack there, but when he saw another Independence Day celebration, he seriously contemplated firing on it. More than two dozen people were wounded, some critically, in the Illinois shooting. Attempted murder and aggravated battery charges are expected related to each individual who was wounded.
We are awaiting the results of two expected votes today concerning the First Nations National Chief. Roseanne Archibald survived a first vote on her leadership last night.
I want to thank everyone for all your comments and for striking down this unlawful suspension that happened.
Delegates attending the AFN's annual meeting in Vancouver voted against an emergency resolution to reaffirm Archibald's suspension. There will be votes on two other resolutions. One calls for her removal from office, the other for an independent third-party forensic financial audit of the AFN. The organization says she was suspended over public statements she made contrary to her oath of office. Archibald says the suspension is a way to silence her over her claims of possible misuse of public funds by the assembly.
Ukraine says its forces have so far held off any major Russian advance in northern Donetsk.
But enemy attacks are intensifying in the eastern province. Ukraine says the Russians are using heavy weaponry to allow ground forces to advance into the region and close in on the city of Slovyansk. Moscow already effectively controls the southern part of Donetsk and is now ramping up pressure along the northern flanks. Meanwhile, nearly 8.8 million people have now crossed the border from Ukraine since the Russian invasion began more than 4 months ago.
The Ukrainian-Canadian Congress is calling for Russia's expulsion from the G20. The group has written to Prime Minister Trudeau asking him to lead a global campaign to kick out Russia. The UCC says Moscow is using the G20 as a platform to lie about its reasons for invading Ukraine. Russia's presence would also make it difficult for Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to attend next week's summit in Indonesia as a guest.
In the UK, Boris Johnson is fighting to hold on to power tonight following the latest scandal threatening his leadership. But the Prime Minister remains defiant in the face of a growing rebellion within his own party.
It seems extraordinary that you wouldn't know whether there are allegations outstanding against your government ministers of sexual impropriety such that they might constitute potentially criminal offences apart from anything else.
Look, nothing that springs to mind, okay?
Johnson appointed a lawmaker to a role involved in party discipline after being briefed that the politician had been the subject of complaints about sexual misconduct. Two senior Conservative ministers resigned yesterday, while others are openly saying they want him gone. But Johnson says he won a large majority in the election and won't step down, insisting the last thing Britain needs is an election.
About 2.3 billion people are having difficulty getting enough to eat. A new UN report says hunger continued to rise in Africa, Asia, Latin America, and the Caribbean last year. And that's before Russia's war on Ukraine. It has sparked increases in the cost of grain, fertilizer, and energy. Projections indicate that nearly 670 million people will be facing hunger at the end of the decade. That's 8% of the world's population.
In Oregon, a climber is recovering after falling about 200 meters on a mountain. A helicopter was brought in to airlift the 43-year-old man to a Portland area hospital. He suffered serious injuries on Saturday after falling while climbing Mount Hood. Search and rescue teams located him about 4 hours later. It was the second incident in about a week in the same area of that mountain.
Engineers at NASA are breathing a little easier tonight. They've restored contact with a spaceship headed to the moon.
3, 2, 1.
The rocket was launched last week, but communication was lost after it left Earth's orbit. The space agency said today contact has been reestablished. The spacecraft called Capstone will test an oval orbit around the moon. That's where NASA wants to put in a mini space station, which would serve as a staging point for astronauts.
Coming up, the cost of inactivity on Canada's healthcare system and calls to bring in tax breaks for getting fit.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, if you want to borrow money, there are many places to get a loan, but be careful you don't get caught in the advance fee loan scam. A Richmond Hill man wanted to send money to help his family in Ukraine, but he lost almost $3,000. I'll have my reports just ahead.
22 degrees, feeling like 26 in Toronto right now. We've got some clearing, and that will continue as we get into the overnight, a very comfortable overnight low of 16 degrees, and we'll have more sunshine on the way. A little bit of cloud to start the day, increased clearing later on in the afternoon, and temperatures a little bit warmer than today with some humidity. I'll be back in just a little bit with your forecast.
Canadians lost $7 million to thieves in loan scams last year, which was more than double over the year before.
Someone seeking a loan, usually online, is asked to pay a fee in advance to secure the loan, but then it never comes through. Pat Foran has one man's story today on Consumer Alert. Pat.
I do, Michelle and Andrea. Thank you. A man from Richmond Hill wanted to send money to Ukraine to help his family stay safe from the war. He found a company online that said it could lend him $20,000. He paid them almost $3,000 in advance, but the loan never happened.
Sergei Polishchuk of Richmond Hill tries to stay in touch with his family in Ukraine every day. His father is there along with other relatives, and they're doing their best to stay safe and avoid the conflict that has overtaken the country.
It's just been hard with the war and food shortages, the diesel shortages, gas shortages. It's just a very hard time.
Polishchuk wanted to send money to his family to help them buy supplies and to pay for a tombstone for his grandmother.
It's a picture of my grandma. She's passed away, and that's the gravestone that we're preparing to get for her.
He went online and found a loan company that agreed to lend him $10,000, but he was told he had to make an advance payment of $1,450 for insurance. Then he was told he was approved for $20,000, but he needed to send another $1,450. When they asked for even more money, he refused. The loan never happened, and they stopped answering his calls and emails.
I feel upset, frustrated, but I learned my lesson. Sometimes you live and you learn.
He applied for the loan through Mariner Financial Service. The company did not return calls or emails from CTV News. When we went to the Ottawa address listed on the website, there was no indication the company had an office there.
There are so many fake or fraudulent loan companies out there. It's important to do so much research.
The Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre says companies offering loans online may say they don't require a credit check and that everyone is approved. And when you're asked to pay in advance to get a loan, that's a sign it's a scam.
You should never have to pay an amount to receive a loan either. In most provinces in Canada, it is illegal to ask for that prepayment.
Polishchuk wanted to share his story to warn others, and he's still hopeful he can somehow send money to Ukraine to help his family.
And if you apply for loans online, you're also giving out a lot of your personal information. Even if you don't get scammed paying in advance, you could make yourself a target for identity theft. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Okay, so we're looking at that beautiful shop behind us. Michelle just asked me what I did today, and I was in the basement all day clearing out the junk. It comes a time when you just have to bite the bullet, go down there, and start taking stuff out.
Did you finish it up?
No, not even close.
You know what, though? I don't think this was a bad day to do that because you said earlier it kind of underperformed. I think people would have wanted a little bit more.
We had a fair bit of cloud cover that was hanging around, and temperatures were just not quite where they should be at this time of the year. So you picked a good one for it, Andrea. But in terms of where we're going for the rest of the week, I can definitely tell you that more sunshine is on the way through. I think a lot of people will like to hear that, and I'll tell you how that plays out for the seven-day forecast. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. So satellite and radar imagery definitely showing us that we have some clearing right now in and around the GTA. And in southern Ontario in general, we were a little bit more unsettled in southwestern Ontario earlier today. We've had this flow of air out of the north since the front associated with the system that brought us all the rain in the GTA yesterday moved through. We got about 7-8 millimeters here in the city of Toronto. And that gave us a bit of a cooler flow of air. We still did have some humidity. We're at 22 right now, feeling like 26 with the Humidex. But in general, we've had some clearing. High pressure off to the north, continuing to push through. And now the flow of air is more out of the south. And that's going to feel a little bit different, especially as we get into tomorrow. But temperature-wise, we've been sort of successively cooler over the last few nights. We were in the 20s, around 18 last night, 16 degrees as we head through the overnight tonight. So we're very close to where we should be, but you'll definitely notice east and north of the city of Toronto, also in parts of southwestern Ontario, that we're trending a little bit on the cooler side. And a little bit on the cooler side is a bit of a theme in the seven-day forecast, but not too cool. So yes, we've got that high pressure in place. There's that system that brought us all the rain. And it's continuing to move on. And we are not seeing too much of a disturbance in the next little while. I'll show you our forecasted radar imagery as we get through the next little while. Just some cloud cover. I do see as we get in tomorrow this opportunity for showers as we get east of the city of Toronto, Peterborough, up through Bancroft. But for the most part, it's just cloud cover. Looking into Friday, it should be a nice day. We have more cloud cover early in the day and then some clearing later on. So tomorrow, 26 feeling like 30 for the city of Toronto. We're getting up into the mid to upper 20s for many of us, a little bit cooler near the upper Great Lakes. UV index will be at 10. So definitely going to be on the sunnier side compared to today. And then as we get through the seven-day forecast, there's all the sunshine. We will see some later on Friday at 25 degrees. 24 for Saturday, Sunday, a little on the cool side, very sunny. We get heat and humidity building back in for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but it will be a little bit unsettled. Back to you, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle. COVID-19 may still be around, but there's a new sign more people are getting back to their daily commuting habits. Metrolink says it's going to add more cars onto some GO trains to accommodate an increase in demand. The transit agency says many trips along the Lakeshore East and West lines will start operating with 12 cars rather than 10, and similar increases are planned for trains on the Barrie and Kitchener lines. The longer trains will begin trips in the next few days.
Also tonight, the ultimate experience for a Shawn Mendes superfan. Stuck in hospital, she couldn't make it to the Calgary concert, so the pop star set aside some one-on-one time for her.
The Fitness Industry Council of Canada says new numbers from an international study show the high costs of inactivity and the economic benefits of exercise for the country.
Yeah, and as CTV's health reporter Pauline Chan tells us, they're calling on the government to bring in a tax benefit to encourage more Canadians to get fit.
When it comes to committing to supporting healthy citizens, Newfoundland gets an A+ from the Fitness Industry Council of Canada.
Newfoundland is the only province that actually does have a $2,000 credit in place, which I think is actually a really interesting choice for them.
Interesting because that's the exact amount identified by a recent study looking at 46 different countries. And $2,000 was the amount recommended as an investment to help inactive Canadians get active.
And the positive impact that that can have not only on our healthcare system, but really our economy and our society.
The group says inactivity costs the Canadian healthcare system $3.9 billion a year, and loss of productivity related to a lack of sufficient physical activity was valued at $7.9 billion a year. Each inactive worker in the country costs an estimated $2,068 in healthcare expenses and lost productivity. The Fitness Industry Council is calling for a $2,000 tax credit for fitness activities to be claimed as a medical expense.
That it's already line 33099 on our personal taxes, so no new systems have to be put into place.
I think I spend about $300 just on a membership alone a year. But as far as like correlation, I think there is some sort of correlation because you can either spend it on a gym membership or spend it on like sports equipment.
The study did not look at the clinical benefits of increased fitness, but Sarah Hodgson says even if you don't reach the recommended 150 minutes a week of moderate to vigorous activity, an increase of just 10 minutes of exercise can make a big difference. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
Ontario's COVID-19 science table says we're likely in a new wave of the virus driven by the BA.5 subvariant of Omicron.
There are still tremendous things Ontarians can do to protect themselves, as the science table has said, with masking in indoor public spaces especially, and especially if you're vulnerable to this virus.
Hospitalizations are already on the rise. Experts say they may not spike like previous waves, but the healthcare system is already very strained. They're also advising millions of Ontarians who have yet to receive their COVID-19 boosters to go do so.
A COVID-19 vaccine for Canada's youngest children could be approved this month. Health Canada says it expects to decide by mid-July about whether to authorize Moderna's shot for children aged 6 months to 5 years. It has also received a submission from Pfizer for its vaccine for kids 6 months to age four. The agency says it's working out a timeline for the review of that.
The number of confirmed monkeypox cases in Ontario has tripled over the past 2 weeks. An update from Public Health shows 101 confirmed infections in this province, up from 33 on June 22nd. The vast majority of the cases are in Toronto, and they're all among men. The increase could reflect a new focus on surveillance and testing as case numbers rise across the globe. Monkeypox usually spreads through close contact. Vaccinations are continuing for those at highest risk.
Sad news from the hockey world to share. Former Toronto Maple Leafs defenseman Brian Marchman has passed away. The Leafs tweeted, "We are deeply saddened to hear of the passing of Brian Marchman." A Scarborough native, Brian spent 19 seasons in the NHL, including one with his hometown Leafs in 03-04. He was beloved in our hockey community by all that knew him. Our hearts go out to his entire family. A cause of death was not immediately available. He played in a number of teams during his 17-year career. The 53-year-old most recently served as a scout for the San Jose Sharks.
A California jury has convicted a 32-year-old man of first-degree murder in the deadly shooting of rising rap star Nipsey Hussle.
We hope that there is some resounding peace in the fact that his killer will be in prison, likely for the rest of his life.
Prosecutors say Eric Holder and Nipsey Hussle had known each other for years before the 2019 shooting. Nipsey Hussle, born Aramis Ashagadam, was 33 years old when he died. He had just released his major label debut album and went on to win several posthumous Grammys.
Legendary musician Carlos Santana gave fans a big scare last night after he collapsed on stage during a concert in Michigan. Fans were cheering there as the 74-year-old guitarist waved on the way out of the venue. He was taken to a nearby emergency room for observation. Santana's management says he suffered from heat exhaustion and dehydration, but is now doing well. A show scheduled for tonight in Pennsylvania has been postponed.
An Alberta teen who was too sick to attend a Shawn Mendes concert this week got a special surprise from the singer.
14-year-old Kaylee Bigger is a Shawn Mendes superfan. She's fighting a life-threatening illness and blood infection. And since she couldn't make it to the show, the singer called her on FaceTime a few hours before taking to the stage. Bigger's mom said the call brought joy during a very stressful and uncertain time.
Definitely brought that little bit of life or a light of happiness back into who she is. Did he make you smile?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kaylee's mom also brought some special gifts back from the concert. Kaylee will receive open-heart surgery on Monday in Edmonton.
A movie adaptation of a novel set in Scarborough is set to have its debut at the Toronto International Film Festival. Organizers tweeted this morning announcing Brother will make its world premiere at TIFF 2022. The prize-winning novel has been reimagined for the screen by celebrated Canadian filmmaker Clement Virgo. The Toronto International Film Festival takes place September 9th through the 19th.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
How do you respond to a phantom allegation?
Updating our top stories, Patrick Brown is fighting back after he was kicked out of the leadership race for the Federal Conservative Party. The party says it's aware of serious allegations of wrongdoing that appear to violate the financial provisions of the Canada Elections Act. Brown has alleged his ouster from the race was politically motivated.
It's heartbreaking, absolutely.
This has to stop, the violence against women.
Toronto police say the woman set on fire on a TTC bus in June has died of her injuries. 33-year-old Tenzin Norbu was charged with attempted murder at the time. The homicide unit has now taken over the investigation.
Oh my God, hang on, hang on.
And terrifying moments captured on camera as a construction site mishap left a worker dangling from a crane. This happened yesterday at Front and Simcoe. The company overseeing this site says the man was lowered to the ground and not seriously injured. The Ministry of Labor is investigating. On the markets, the Canadian dollar is down slightly, trading at 76.68 cents U.S. Texas Intermediate Oil fell almost a dollar to $98.53 U.S. a barrel, and the TSX fell a little over 100 points to close at 18,729.
You may soon see more living structures go up in backyards across Toronto after a decision from the Ontario Land Tribunal. The city says the tribunal dismissed an appeal against its new bylaw allowing the construction of garden suites. As long as the buildings meet set criteria and standards, they're now allowed to go up with just a building permit. Building permit application, that is. Now, officials say the move is part of an effort to increase housing options in neighborhoods.
While home sales slow down across the GTA, the cost of renting property is on the upswing. Realosophy Realty released market trend data suggesting rental rates for homes rose 18% in June to just over $2,800. That's a steady climb from a tumble seen in 2021. Rentals.ca says May marked the first year-over-year increase in rent prices since the start of the pandemic.
Meanwhile, Bloomberg reports office vacancy rates hit a record in the second quarter in downtown Toronto. Commercial brokerage CBRE says the rate rose to 11.9% as nearly 500,000 square feet of space went without a tenant. The report linked the high vacancy rates to a cloudy economic outlook and ongoing remote working arrangements. Meanwhile, one Toronto couple is escaping the downtown office life and real estate woes by buying a beach in Panama. You can check out their story on our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca.
And just ahead, they've been around for millennia, but an ancient bird hunting dog is just now getting its due, recognized as a new breed.
Tonight, new details on how passengers are chosen for COVID tests at airports.
So this is your data and it's highly sensitive.
The connections to the Arrive Can app and the calls to cancel it as travel delays deepen. Later on CTV National News.
A reminder, the CTV News at 6 podcast is available as a download every weeknight. And you can also listen to the show live on News Talk 1010.
Get Toronto's top stories, breaking news alerts, and watch live. Download the CTV News app.
Smart, tough, and friendly. With qualities like that, the American Kennel Club had no choice.
It announced today official recognition of a new breed. And here it is. The Bracco Italiano is an ancient Italian bird hunting dog. The Bracco goes back more than 2,000 years in Europe, but it wasn't brought to the U.S. until the mid-1990s. It's sometimes called the Italian pointer or Italian pointing dog, and the Bracco becomes the 200th member of the American Kennel Club's roster of recognized breeds. And what this means is it can now vie to be top dog at many American dog shows, including the prestigious Westminster Kennel Club event next year.
From dogs to some otters, just looking for a way to keep cool. I think that's called an ice bath. There doesn't seem to be anything better for the trio of otters at the Oregon Zoo on a hot day. An American River otter named Tilly and her two adopted pups were given the chance to jump into a bucket of ice, rolling around and munching on the cubes. All three are rescue animals who came to the zoo as orphans and able to survive on their own in the wild.
They're living the life now.
Super cute.
Don't need any buckets of ice right now. It's not that warm.
No, I mean, we only got to 23 degrees at Pearson today. So for perspective, we should be getting around 26, 27 at this time of the year. So a little cool, a little cloudy today, but a little warmer tomorrow. And I think people might like that. We are looking at a little more sunshine building in. Of course, we're clearing as we head into the overnight. It's 21 degrees downtown right now. And in terms of how things will play out through the overnight, 16 degrees. So a touch cooler than normal, but really close to where we should be. Tomorrow, we will see some cloud and a high of 26. We'll get more sunshine tomorrow, so we should get there a flow of air to the south. It's going to feel like 30 with the Humidex. Less humidity as we get Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Lots of sunshine. Again, a little bit cool for this time of the year, but all in all, quite comfortable. More heat and humidity, if you're looking for it, builds in as we get into Monday.
That weekend looks fabulous. Mm-hmm. Thank you, and be sure to join Andrea Case later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
In the meantime, you can stay up to date by going to our website and watch breaking news all day long on CTV 24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us here at CTV News, have a great night.